Dad? My father didn't answer me. He barely speaks any more. He isn't muddled, doesn't suffer from dementia or Alzheimer's. We know that because he does speak sometimes, and on those rare occasions he is lucid and rational. Dad is 78, but his memories haven't abandoned him, and he always recognizes me when I visit him. I get a smile, not a big one, because that's the way he is, distant, reserved. But he recognizes me, and he's pleased I come to see him. That is no small thing. Mr. Tiefenthaler, Kotka prompted when my father didn't reply. Sometimes my father is more likely to respond to Kotka than to me. Does that make me jealous? I have to admit that it does, a bit. On the other hand, Kotka is the man my father now spends his days with, and I'm glad, of course I am, that they get on. Kotka respects my father. I think it's fair to say that. I don't know whether he treats all the men here as gently and kindly as he treats Dad. I suspect that he doesn't, but I have never seen him with the other men. But today, my father didn't respond to Kotka, either. He sat at the table in silence, half asleep, eyes drooping, hands hanging by his sides. Every now and then he would tilt forwards, and I would get a fright, because if my father hit his face on the metal tabletop, he would hurt himself. He never falls that far, though. He always checks the tilting movement and rights himself. It was the same today, but I can't get used to it. It gives me a fright every time. I saw Kotka start forward and then relax. He, too, had been ready to intervene. We take good care that nothing happens to Dad. I've been coming to visit my father in this place for 6 months, and it's still sad to see him like this, in his threadbare shirt and the worn trousers he wears without a belt. We bought him new things to smarten him up, but he insists on wearing his old familiar clothes. And why shouldn't he? He looks strange sitting there because his chair is too far from the table, as is mine. We sit opposite each other, but the table doesn't really connect us, doesn't allow us to sit together. Now, of all times, when we're closer than ever before, the table separates us. At least that's the way I see it. Unfortunately, it's not possible to move the chairs because they're screwed to the floor. The same goes for the table. My father could speak if he wanted to, but he doesn't. He's tired, I think, worn out by the long life he found so difficult. We never understood him. But what does that matter? He had to cope with those difficulties, even if he maybe only imagined them. And we don't know everything about his life. Nobody knows everything about another person's life. We can only be continuously present in our own lives. And even that doesn't mean we know all about them, because things that affect us, often momentous things, can happen without our being there, and even without our knowledge. So we should be wary of making statements about others' lives in their entirety. I am. As I was leaving the house this morning, I told my wife I was going to drop in on my father. I always put it like that, and when she goes, she uses the same phrase. I'll drop in on your father later. Half a year is not enough to take the pain out of the word prison. Not for people like us, who must first get used to the idea that such a place has become part of our world. It hurts us, even now. My father was sentenced at the age of 77, and has already had, I won't say celebrated, one birthday as an inmate. We tried to make the hour's visit festive, but it was not a success. It wasn't so much the screwed-down chairs and metal table that were to blame, or even the barred window. Another all-too-clear reminder that this was not a homey place, not a fitting place to celebrate the fact of your own birth. It was me.